7A on council.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Natalie Reed, County Council. So for our department update, I'll start really simple because often when people ask me what I do, I kind of have to explain what it is. So what is a county council? So the county council is the attorney for the county that is tasked with managing the county's civil law needs as opposed to criminal law needs that are met by the district attorney. One unique aspect of the county council's office as compared to some of the other departments is that the county's council's office is not a public-facing department. Our attorneys cannot provide members of the public with services or advice, but instead our legal services are directed inward, advising the, and assisting the public servants who do directly work with the public. The county council is a statutory office, and the government code provides that in any county, county council may be appointed by the Board of Supervisors. County councils are appointed for a four-year term. The county council's client is the county entity as a whole, and we work at the direction of the Board of Supervisors as the highest acting authority of that entity. Luckily, the county council doesn't have to go it alone. Both the government code and the Siskiyou County code provide for the county council to have such assistance as will enable her to perform the duties of her office. And I am ever so grateful that in addition to myself, the county council's office is composed of three very dedicated attorneys and three very dedicated staff members. And each of them are so critically important to the collective functioning of our office. Because the daily functioning of our office deals with such a broad subject matters, our success is really dependent on the specialized skills of each of the individuals who merge together to perform the vast array of services that we provide. So this leads us to the next question, and that question is, what does a county council do? So obviously the county council attends the meetings of the boards of supervisors, and our assistant county council attends the meeting of the planning commission, and our chief deputy county council attends the meeting of our air district. And our office attorneys review contracts, leases, memorandums, legal documents, board agenda items, and other documents. We prepare resolutions and ordinances. We provide legal services and opinions to the county and all county officers, and we provide trainings on and interpretation of the laws. Our office represents the county's Department of Health and Human Services in juvenile dependency proceedings, and we act as counsel for the public guardian and conservatorship proceedings. Our office attorneys also are the legal advisors to the grand jury with respect to their civil matters, and provide them with advice as issues arise. Among other elected officials, our office advises the clerk register of voters, have provided her with litigation support as needed, and our office prepares ballot titles and summaries of proposed county ballot measures. The county council's office also defends or files civil actions and proceedings, except for where the board authorizes other counsel to defend. So how do we strive to do our duties? There aren't very many of us, so we strive to be very efficient with the limited time and resources that we have. We strive to be responsive and pragmatic problem solvers, and we strive to be courteous and ethical. We also strive to be nimble learners, as there are so many different areas that our services are needed in. I didn't have time to create a PowerPoint, but in thinking of what it would look like, I had come up with the concept of these little balls floating onto the screen to show all the different services that we provide, and they would have filled up the whole screen. There's so many things. We assist Public Works, the Flood Control District, Adult Protective Services, our Groundwater Sustainability Agencies, the Siskiyou Power Authority, the Planning Commission. We assist on natural resource matters. We assist with the assessment appeal hearings, with claims. with amicus efforts, with response to subpoenas. It's a very broad practice area. So for current operations, things that are going well, in addition to the day-to-day guidance that we provide just off the cuff, in the year 2022, our office received 1,017 legal services requests. In 2023, we are on track to exceed that number. Our attorneys are successfully handling in-house litigation on matters that range from writs in the 3rd Appellate District to code enforcement appeals in our Superior Court, to unlawful detainer actions and workplace restraining orders, and defense of a federal tax lien action. Our office continues to represent Health and Human Services Agency in their juvenile dependency proceedings, and has successfully handled appeals from those proceedings to the 3rd District Court of Appeal. In 2023, our attorneys are also working closely with community development on code enforcement matters, which has resulted in successes in getting property owners to pay fines and abate code violations. In 2023, we have expended a significant amount of time on large-scale Public Records Act requests, including reviewing those documents for legal privilege. Although our county counsel's office is small, we are working towards creating career ladders inside of the office and preparing succession plans. And in 2023, we created the position of Chief Deputy County Counsel. In addition, for our Chief Deputy County Counsel, I'd like to recognize that in addition to doing her core business duties, we've also been able to help special districts. And our Chief Deputy County Counsel has advised the county special districts on Brown Act compliance, contract advice, public work projects, grant projects, legislative advice, and these special districts provide essential services to county residents, but they often don't have the resources for in-house counsel, so they express their gratitude. In 2023, the County Counsel's Office is also managing and overseeing litigation handled by outside counsel in a dozen and a half cases. That includes cases where we are the plaintiff, including coordinating with other public entities on the national opioid litigation and working with the departments on receiving allocations for remediation funds to address the opioid crisis. In 2023, our office is also working to provide more in-house legal services to the personnel team, and we were able to coordinate with two other counties to gain their participation in an amicus brief effort in support of the Clinton Project Irrigators for a case before the Ninth Circuit. So those are things that are going well. Current operational challenges include Public Records Act requests. And in 2022, the county received 277 Public Records Act requests, and we are on track to meet that again. Large-scale Public Records Act requests continue to impose a significant burden, not only on our department, but other departments. Another challenge for our office, like so many other departments that have come up before you, is recruitment. We have been down an attorney for 6 months now, and we have a recruitment running for any deputy level. And in an office, as small as ours, it is something that is felt by staff, but it also is a problem that is happening statewide. In many county council's offices throughout the state, they are really struggling to recruit attorneys. And I don't know what the current status of Pima County is, but it had come to our attention in months past that they had something like 5 attorney slots and 1 was filled. So we're grateful, very grateful for the attorneys we have. Retention is critically important to our office, and just identifying ways to differentiate ourselves in the market for good attorneys. So looking forward, we're going to keep striving to be efficient and responsive and make retention and succession planning a priority.
Thank you. Any board comments, questions?
Sure.
Supervisor Howe?
I appreciate that. One of the things that I get asked frequently from the public is, what does county council do? And, you know, it's, to the public, a lot of it's kind of a, and that's what I'm going to speak to, maybe clarification to the public here. To them, you know, it's kind of a mistake, because a lot of what they don't see is the closed session of work that we do. And I greatly appreciate your leadership in that office and the changes you've made just in the short tenure that you've been in there to clarify things with this board and make things more transparent to us and crystal clear, actually, and succinct. Thank you. That said, the public doesn't understand, I think, the amount of work each of us with service districts do with one of your attorneys. And that work goes unnoticed because it's not here in front of the board. The only thing the public ever sees is the appointments in lieu. But it's a, I can tell you, it's a struggle, and I'm sure Dana's going to shake her head yes, to keep some of these up and floating, because they're volunteers, basically. But they're providing water and garbage and sewer and other services, fire and ambulance, to the rural parts of this county that aren't served by a city organization. I greatly appreciate the work that you did, Dana. You know that. Because without it, I'd have customers without water, honestly. That said, I know you're one attorney down. Are you, if that attorney were filled, I know we've had this discussion with the board multiple times about attorneys, and I thought there was another vacancy that we had approved that isn't filled in there. How did the workload, if those positions were filled, I guess is what I'm asking.
I think if those positions were filled, it would definitely help with all the attorneys who have been promoted. I have, you know, taken on the county council role, assistant county counsel Bill Carroll, you know, recently came into that role, but he's still doing his CPS duties. County Council Deputy Dana Barton is, you know, still doing her duties plus. So it would free up leadership to do other projects.
I appreciate that. Maybe that's something we can discuss as a board again at some time in the future. The other thing I want to say is to the public, basically, is you have no idea of the complexity of the work of the council's office, because say somebody runs into you with a vehicle and you go hire an attorney. You're going to hire an attorney that's you know, got a license in a particular state, and they're going to take on that case based on their specialty of doing that work. Well, in our county, we have such a suite of intercross-sectional federal, state, tribal law, district court, appellate court, civil processes before federal magistrates and other processes before state entities. It's amazing to me how our attorneys can staff all of those and give us decent advice here. So I really, really appreciate the work you do. Sometimes we get back and forth on things, what about this, what about that, kind of thing, but that's part of, you know, working with the board. But I do appreciate everything you do, and the public needs to know that too. Okay.
Supervisor Bowman, anything?
Just quickly, reiterating everything that he said so eloquently there, I really do appreciate everything that you all do for us all the time when it comes to ordinances and resolutions and everything that we ask of you. I know nothing about being a lawyer or counsel, so I depend on you for everything that I need to know. So I trust you implicitly for that. And I ask probably really dumb questions when it comes to that. And I thank you for your patience when I ask questions, because you're brilliant when it comes to that. You're invaluable to us. when it comes to guidance, sometimes we push back, and we appreciate that you give us the answers that you think are right, but we have to push back a little bit because that's our job. And it's great conversation, and it really helps us make the right decision. So I really appreciate that about all of you. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Chris.
Yes, it's a compliment, but it's a compliment that you've earned and your department's earned. The professionalism is absolutely there. Courtesy towards clients, obviously, but also the professionalism. One word that I have heard used was the innovativeness of the department in addressing problems. In some respects, the county learns from other counties, but in other respects, the county other places learn from us. And the innovativeness that we've had in doing things. And yes, there's a cost to having county council, but there'd be an incredible cost to not having county council for the general fund and for county employees and county taxpayers. That's all for me.
It's all been said. Thank you for your great work that you're doing. Move on to item 7B. Community development.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Rick Dean, Siskiyou County Community Development Director. This item has been before you several times before, associated with the health officer proclamation for the Happy Camp complex. And noted Supervisor Howe's conversation previously regarding beefing up the aspect for smoke and moving forward over with the health officer, make sure that that's incorporated in our future proclamation. So I don't want to say we have any more in the future, but
never say fine.
Yeah. Also, I need to bring attention to a typo that was noted by Supervisor Ogren within this fifth whereas, the first sentence states the county is, but it should be in rather than is, the form of contaminated debris. So just note that. At this time, I'd like to ask to have this proclamation re-ratified. DTSC has been on board, have performed phase one for the properties for the head fire, except in one property that chose not to participate, unfortunately. But we still have not have a decision yet from the state as far as the cleanup for phase two. And I'd like to leave this in place until we can get that decision from you.
Agreed. Thank you.
Okay. One other thing I'd like to say quickly.
Sure.
Just as a kudos to the Department of Toxics and Substance Control. They've been working with us for these fire cleanups, you know, since the Bowles Fire in 2014. And have been awesome, quite frankly. They show up to go to work, and the sun comes up, and even when it goes down, they're very dedicated, put in full days, and really gone above basically their scope. It's one of the few state departments that have been a pleasure to work with, I can say that.
Okay.
The Bowles Fire really helped us out to make a pathway to involve local contractors who go to work there to clean up. And then just recently with this last fire, they did a lot of additional asbestos work that was out of their realm. So kudos to them.
Thank you. Comments from the board or wishes?
Yeah, you remind me how many properties are in the head fire.
There are 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Move to ratify, approve, whatever I'm doing.
with the correction.
With the correction.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Can I have a second?
All right. Supervisor Hopp?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye. Thank you, Mr. Dean. Item 7C, County Administration. Is that you, Ms. Davis?
It is.
Good morning, Vice Chair Kopseff, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Before you today, this item pertains to the CalPERS required resolution when recognizing a new unit within the county. This is pertaining to the attorney unit that, barring unforeseen circumstances, will be coming back to the board on December 12th for full implementation. But due to CalPERS requirements, specifically the timing, this item is being brought before you today for adoption.
Any questions? Not looking for action from the board. I'll move to approve.
No second.
Thank you.
Ready, Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 7D.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Amanda Kimball, Product Coordinator for Susquehanna County General Services. Today I'm bringing to your approval the option to take on two trailers for additional storage at both the transfer stations. This, as it says here, will help us with the overflow when we're waiting for other e-waste tires, mattresses, carpet to be picked up. Right now, if we call, we call a month in advance. It takes a month or longer to get a new trailer to store in, and then we have to put them on the ground, which we can't do, or the mattresses and carpet go on the tipping floor and take to the landfill. So we are working towards streamlining so we don't have to stop accepting anything, and we have extra storage to keep going for tire events and just day-to-day activities.
Sounds like a good idea to me. So, thank you. Any questions from the board?
Yeah. Are these ghost trailers?
So, it's like, if you've been up there, we have the trailers that the tires and stuff are in. Same kind of trailers, but where you could transfer has some that they aren't using anymore that we can use. They're covered. There's a roll-up. We can lock it. So, in that way, like, if we have excess e-waste and stuff like that, they can go get locked up. And we don't have anything on the ground, tires and stuff like that.
Supervisor Chris?
Well, the question and comment, you know, you don't want to get horse in the house, but you don't want to get a sick horse either. Get horse in the mouth, you don't want a sick horse either. So these are good enough trailers to be able to take and not use cost.
No, it'll be just the cost to do the transfer of title, which talking to Kim at the auditor's office is only like less than $100. So we're just taking it across the board. They're not roadworthy. They'll just be able to move wherever we need them at the transfer stations and keep going on cleaning it up and making it accessible to the public.
Anything else? If not,
so moved.
I have a motion to approve.
One second.
And a second.
Thank you.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye. We'll move on to 7E. Gold inventory display, whatever, all of the above.
Yes. Good morning, board members. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. And before you today is a staff report and my verbal staff report regarding the county's gold inventory. So just as a brief background, as I believe most people know, Siskiyou County's history is steeped heavily in the mining of gold after it was discovered in early 1851 along the Klamath River. This led to the creation of the Happy Camp Mining District and attracted thousands of people to the area. It is estimated that over the next several decades, approximately $55 million worth of gold was extracted throughout Siskiyou County. In an attempt to preserve our gold history, Siskiyou County itself, the government, acquired different artifacts that were discovered throughout the county. And this included a large nugget of gold that was commonly referred to as the shoe, which was a 28-ounce gold nugget that was purchased by the county in 1913 for $550. And it also included other items such as a pocket watch that was donated to the county by Virgil Nesbitt. Most of our county's gold inventory was a mixture of pieces that were purchased and pieces that were donated to the county. Our gold collection was once known as one of the largest in the nation and was once featured during the 1938 World's Fair in San Francisco. Our gold inventory included an array of nuggets, jewelry, flakes, and other pieces that really well represented the gold that was discovered throughout the county. As I think most everybody knows as well, during the early hours of February 1st, 2012, burglars broke into the former Siskiyou County Courthouse, breached the gold display, and stole approximately 321 ounces of the county's total 625 ounces of gold inventory. This included the largest and most valuable pieces of our gold, which included the shoe and included the pocket watch that had been donated. To recover the value of the stolen gold through insurance, Siskiyou County contracted for an appraisal of the gold and additionally contracted for a peer review report of that appraisal. The final proof of loss of the stolen gold was totaled at $1.17 million. In late 2012, the county received two insurance disbursements, one for $1.08 million and one for $90,000, for a total of $1.17 million. Following receipt of these funds, $26,000 was transferred to the county risk/liability fund for appraisal reimbursements, and $50,000 was transferred to the gold theft reward committed account. The $50,000 transferred for reward has subsequently been absorbed by the county general fund. In 2014, $10,000 was used as a contribution to family resource centers throughout Siskiyou County, and $20,000 was used to purchase books and other supplies for the library. Lastly, in 2018, after board approval, $1,064,194 was transferred to the county's zero cost center to pay down pension and other post-employment benefits liability. The reason that this item is before the board today is that recently we've received numerous requests to display our remaining gold. We've received those requests through emails, letters, and we really appreciate the county's or our citizens' interest in displaying that gold. The Siskiyou County Courthouse moved to a new location in 2021, and the old courthouse building, this building, is now the Government Center. The Government Center houses county departments, and although it is open to the public during normal business hours, the building is not equipped to display the remaining gold in a safe manner. Following a request from the Friends of the Siskiyou County Museum to display the gold at the new courthouse, I did reach out to court administration. Unfortunately, however, per court administration, their location is not an option due to the building being state-owned, and the state is not able to display the gold due to liability concerns. At this time, we do not recommend that the gold be displayed within a county-owned facility. We do not have the security to ensure the safety of the gold, and we don't have the resources at this time to construct the required security. We are exploring a couple options, however, and that includes reaching out to local banks and other entities that would possibly have the security to display the gold, or doing a virtual display, which would include photographs and video that could be displayed in some of our county-owned buildings. And so with that, I'm happy to take any questions from the board. And again, I appreciate the public's interest in this item, and I enjoy going through some of the history of our gold display.
So how many ounces are left approximately? Sounds like 300 some odd.
Yes. Exact number. they stole 321 right. ounces of the 625, so a little under 300.
A little under 300. And so they're only the tax collector and the assessor, or not assessor, the auditor are the two entities that know where it is housed, but it's vaulted somewhere here in the county, I'll say it that way.
Correct, correct. Correct. And that is one important piece that it, that our remaining gold is very secure.
Okay. All right. To the board. Any comments, questions?
And you go to comment?
Yeah, I'll come out there in a minute, Mr. Castor.
Maybe we'll listen to the public first.
Okay. Mr. Castor, you want to come forward? Thank you.
Consider public comment?
Yes.
3 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. I really appreciate the report. It was a very good job. And
we need your name for the record.
I'm sorry. I'm Robert Castor.
Thank you.
And I think the report was excellent. My friend Mike Griffintini is the person that probably has been most vocal in being a proponent of doing something about displaying the gold. But I'm right there with him. Mike is out of town. He couldn't be here this morning. As you folks know, I think I've had an interest in it for a long time. I've written articles for the Siskiyou Daily News over the years, which were collected into a little book called The Great Wairika Courthouse Gold Heist, which was published by the Siskiyou Historical Society. There's been more information provided this afternoon or this morning than we've known before, including the fact that there's still 321 ounces of the gold left. And I guess what I was going to propose initially, and I'm still going to propose it, is that we don't just forget about it. I would like to continue to make some efforts to see if there's some way to display it. I also talked to the court administrator, and she talked to the state office of the courts and didn't get a very favorable response. And I realized that there are a lot of obstacles and a lot of considerations and a lot of concerns. But I guess what I was going to propose, and I still would like to propose it, is that you have a working group or a committee devoted to continuing to explore options. I would be happy to serve on that. I'm sure Mike would be happy to serve on that. I was thinking that you could have people like the sheriff or the designee or the county auditor or whichever department is the custodian of the gold to participate in such a committee. So that's really all I have to say is the suggestion to the county that you might want to have a working group or a committee to continue to explore this proposal. So, thank you.
So while you're right there, what do you think about the virtual part? Is that because I know the liability factor and insurance and security are a huge obstacle, and so
there are some really interesting. There's so many conspiracy theories out there, and so many war stories, including some stories that I'm not going to tell you in detail because they may or may not be crazy. But it wouldn't be the first idea to do a virtual display of some sort. I personally don't agree with that. I think it should be displayed, and I think it can be displayed safely if there will have to be some resources put into it. But the gold itself has some intrinsic value, and it seems to me one of the things that's bothered me for a long time is that the insurance money, and I believe this was agreed upon this morning, the insurance money that came from the original gold is gone, basically. It was gone to pay various expenses. expenses and things that the county had.
It's just in OPEB. We put it there to create a high interest earning. Originally, it was set aside to earn a dividend to offset the cost of the museum. We didn't put it into the general fund so that it would just be spent down.
Well, I know
that was one thing we were adamant about. But
I know it wasn't put in the general fund, but maybe I didn't understand what I heard this morning, but my impression or understanding is that we don't have money.
I guess, is it fair to say it's invested? It's invested.
Well, that's one of the questions. So anyway, that's my proposal.
Okay.
I would like to continue on with this if the board wants to, and I'd be happy to volunteer to participate in the group. I'm sure Mike Griffintini would be also. So thank you for putting it on the agenda. I really appreciate it. And I also thank you for the report, because I thought that was the most information that we've had for a long time.
Okay.
Very, very helpful.
Thank you. Ms. Nielsen, anything to follow up on?
Not at this time, unless there's any direction from the board.
So, any comments from the board?
It would be nice to look into, like you said, maybe some banks or something like that. My only frustration with that would be the banks aren't open on the weekends, and that's when we have the most visitors that come into the area.
Yes.
I have personally heard of one that is interested. And I can get with you to talk about that a little bit more. But again, that's, you know, the only hang up there is that they're not open on the weekends. So, you know, throughout time, especially during the summer when we have the most visitors, we don't get to offer that, you know, as a draw. And if, you know, we can continue to kind of go down that avenue and see what we can come up with, we'll do that.
We'll do that.
Appreciate it.
Supervisor Chris.
Thank you. First of all, just have some appeal. You know, in regards to not displaying it. Is there a way of virtually displaying the historic before it was stolen? Do you have any pictures of the historic display? So if we do virtual, that's really what's destroyed that those things.
If we were to go down the path of a virtual display or some sort of hybrid, I would certainly go through more of our files that might not that I haven't been able to get to see what photos we do have. The ones I found at this time were not very high quality. However, I would continue to do research to see what we can find.
All right. You're jumping right to my last point. Staff time-wise, the county only has so much we can dedicate towards this. And there's a group of public interests that are great involved in this. I wouldn't want to pile more on your shoulders. In regards to when you get home with your kids from time to time. But that committee, like Friends of the Museum, Judge Castor's group, you know, kind of not put the ball in their court, but just say, if you have solutions or ideas, be sure to. I've read the letters from one up here, any suggestions you may have as well. Where we have, just like Friends of the Museum had, Friends of the Museum, Office of the Museum staff, and everything. I would have the volunteers come up with ideas, proposals, look at things that are done in other counties, other states, and we're not the first one to be displaying something historic or of high value.
Correct.
Things they may find as well that they can contribute towards that cause.
We can certainly reach out to members of the public, and especially those that have reached out to us.
Yeah. Kind of, it's very interesting to have a look at those old deals. It's unfair to ask staff to do all the homework and all the research on everything. For the story, you know, the old Western towns, what brings people in is the bank they got robbed. And so I'd be interested to defer to the museum director, but telling the story of that, telling the story of the gold plate historically from then to now, and in regards to that story too, to try to get out ahead of the rumors that are on this, to say where that money is invested, what's the benefit of that investment, and what's happening to where people know exactly where the money is now.
Understood, and that's why I want to be very clear in the staff report of tracking the dollars.
And Judge Castor, thanks for your work. I'll stop there, Mr. Mosley.
Anything, Supervisor Allen?
I just, I I learned something today. The Happy Camp Mining District, I'm going to do some research on that. I know about several others. Thank God we never had the 15.5-pound nugget that was found in Scott Barr during the gold rush. I'm not a security expert. You know, I saw the security around the Hope Diamond one time in the Smithsonian, and I know that's beyond our capacity here. It's pretty risky in such a rural community, in my mind, to trot out $500,000 to $750,000 worth of gold, and that's it's not dismissing our law enforcement, but they're pretty sophisticated people that would want to get at this. And so I don't know. Eyes and ears are open to remedies. I know a lot of times virtuals are kind of nice. They're used. I don't know how to make that work without today's technology, somebody tracking the daggone thing, the feed, and finding out where that feed is coming from. So I'll leave it at that. See how this goes.
So, yes, I mean, it's got historic value. It's part of Siskiyou County. If there's some way that we can show the public, I support that. But we know what's happened with half of it already, and the security risk, that's the tough part. Because I know originally when this all happened and the new courthouse was being built, there was positive reception to displaying it there, but that's changed, obviously. So I don't know that we want to appoint like an ad hoc gold exhibit committee. I don't know if we want to do that yet, but I think, Mr. Castor, maybe your work with those that are interested, if there's some way that you can push up to us or even to Elizabeth kind of what your ideas are of what might be a venue to be able to display it. The virtual, that was the only thing I could come up with that gave where we could tell the story and not video it live, but I guess video the inventory and then place it in different spots in the county building so that anybody that visited the museum or even here could actually see what was there and learn the story of even the heist and what we had before. Because I think former Supervisor Bennett, I thought she had pictures of some of those artifacts that we lost, but I may be wrong. Anyway, go ahead, Supervisor Wilder.
One other comment about the virtual aspect is we can reach a lot more people with the information virtually than in person. People from far and wide can go on, whether it's the county website or wherever we're going to post a virtual tour of that and the information and the history, whether it's on the Historical Society's website and we can post it in different places. It's a much better way to show what we've got and to talk about our history and to, it's a really cool thing that so many other communities are doing that we can promote our town of Wairika, the whole county. It's a great tool for, and it may be an option to get Discover Siskiyou involved in economic development. It might be a little bit bigger than what we're thinking to involve them in this project.
Okay. So I think if there's some way that Mr. Castor and his group could just kind of give us some idea of what they have in mind for that,
a
little
sure
more detail, and and see what comes of it, and you can keep us posted. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One thing, real
sure.
One of the problems with trying to recommend an approach is there has been very little information. And so today is really helpful because we've learned more today. I learned more today than I've known ever. I mean, I had no idea how much gold was left. It's still, and I don't know in what form it is, you know. We talked about the Virgil Nesbitt's gold watch and the shoe, which were really, really unique pieces, and I don't know whether we have anything like that. So I would just ask that maybe we could be in touch with your people and trade information and
yeah.
We go from there.
Yeah. And I think even this here kind of that's in the agenda gives a little bit of backdrop about what you just reported, correct?
Correct.
Ms. Nielsen.
Okay. Correct.
All right. Thank you. We're going to take five, is that right? Recess for 5 minutes.